Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark, the 6th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, I was looking at all of the texts for today, and I was trying to find the theme. In some ways, they seem kind of disparate, right? They don't really seem to go together. But if you look at them, I think closely, you'll find an idea here that a disobedient people is a faithless people. That's the lesson today. From the Old Testament to the New Testament to the Gospel reading, the focus is on the call to be faithful to our Lord. Might be different reasons for it, sure, but the focus is on faithfulness. But I have to ask the question then, what does it mean to be faithful? Well, let me start here. One of the things that I have been asked the most since I have gotten to SPI is this. What are you going to do, Pastor, to turn things around? Now, this is an interesting question when people ask it. It's interesting because on the one hand, it reveals that the person asking it thinks that there is something to be turned around. And two, usually the person just wants you to go along with their priorities. Right? Now, mostly, I'll say this. When I hear this question, it's because people are looking around and they're not seeing the numbers that used to be here. They're not seeing their old friends, their old family that used to be here. They get upset at that. They get scared for the future. And then they dump it all on the pastor. Mostly kidding. But I'll tell you this now, and for all time, here's my answer. I'm going to be faithful. Let me just be honest. Especially in the context of bringing more people to this church, this means I am not going to worry. I am not going to chase after program after program after program. I'm not going to keep trying the newest gimmicks or tactics to try to attract others in here. What I am going to do is what the Word of God calls me and you to do. I'm going to preach God's Word in all of its truthfulness. I'm going to administer the sacraments rightly. I will continue to serve, and I will encourage you to serve as well. It means that I'm going to be looking at the past much more than the future to determine what we need to do. It means that I'm thinking as much of the bodies buried down in our cemetery as I am the bodies of the baptized here. It means I expect you to hold me to all of my ordination and installation vows. And I will also hold you to the promises that you made during my installation. But mostly I would say this, to be faithful means the first thing, to preach God's word and to deliver his sacraments, because that is what Christ would have me do. To really get at what it means to be faithful in all of our contexts, we probably should look at the word faith first. You see, faithful is an adjective. I know you weren't coming in here expecting to be going to school, but here we are. Faithful is an adjective, right? It describes something. You can have a faithful person. You can have a holy place. For me, you know, that's the church. That's Camp Randall Stadium, right? No, I'm just kidding. But you see, these things, we describe them in certain ways, right? Faithful is an adjective. But faith is a noun. It's a thing. And every noun has an object, right? It refers back to something. It defines itself in relation to something else. For instance, to call someone a mother means that there must be children, right? Okay? If you're going to call someone a husband, then there must be a wife. If you're going to call something a country, that means it has a, and I'll fill this in for you, a landmass and a people. Right? So every noun refers to that object. When we say faith, faith has the object. And when we say it in the church, the object is Christ. Now, we don't always work it that way, but that's really what faith is. We do use faith in a couple of other ways, right? And this is not generally what we're talking about, but think of it this way. We have faith, right, that we're all going to get home safely after church. I have faith that the Packers will make it at least to the playoffs this year. I have faith that the SEC is going to be unfairly glorified in the NCAA. You see, these things I have faith in, right? And we do this with all kinds of words, don't we? I love bratwurst, and I love my wife. Hopefully not in the same way. But faith, you see, is that same way. It is. We have faith in these things, but not the way we do our Jesus. You see, in Jesus, faith is a gift. It's something that grasps on to what he gives me. Faith opens the hand to receive the gifts from God. Faith is trust. Faith is like knowing that when you're standing on the high dive, your dad is swimming below you, treading water, ready to bring you up, come hell or high water. Right? Faith is like knowing that your mom is not going to poison you when she serves you your meal. Faith in Christ is trust in him so implicitly that you know that he is the Lord. And you have his gifts do to you what they promise they will do to you. To be faithful, then, is to not be full of faith, but to utilize the faith. Right? It doesn't mean, and you can go to YouTube and find people trying to do this stuff, that you walk up to mountains and command them to move. It doesn't mean that you try to walk on water. It doesn't mean that you try to raise the dead or heal the sick or walk through walls. To utilize your faith means that you are to have those gifts that God in Christ gives to you and see then how they fill your life so much that you might endure until the latter day. To be faithful means to remember your baptism, to repent and be absolved, to eat and to drink his body and blood. To be faithful means to set your minds on the things of God, particularly those things which are word and sacrament, and certainly not your mind on the gods or the course of this world. You see, the people in Jesus' hometown, they could not be faithful. They refused him. They refused to see him beyond what they thought they knew of him. They would not receive his word. They wouldn't even receive his healing. He could do no mighty work there because they had no faith. They were full of unbelief. Now, if Jesus came and appeared this morning, you know, I'm talking and all of a sudden, poof, there's Jesus. No doubt that there's Jesus right there. And he told us that we for sure would go to heaven if we would all go outside to the lawn and start eating the grass like the cows do. We would do that, wouldn't we? Because it's Jesus. I mean, it seems silly, but it's Jesus, right? Jesus is, and his promise, we want to receive those, however they might come to us. Right? Thankfully, he hasn't done that. But when Jesus says to the people of Nazareth that they need only believe, that they need only open their hand to receive for the sake of unbelief, they would not. Because remember, this Jesus who's among them is the same little boy that was running around town, following his brothers, chasing them, having fun, doing all of this. They watched him grow from an infant, well, really probably from just a baby, but all the way up into adulthood. He's the carpenter. He worked with Joseph. They know this guy. How is he doing these things? I can't believe in him. You can't believe in him. For us, it's different because we would expect this miraculous sign. For him, for them, they've seen him through every stage of his life. Ezekiel was told by God that the people of Israel were rebellious, as if he didn't know that already, but it's true. They wouldn't believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his works and his ways and his messenger. But did you see what was also going on there? And it's the same between Ezekiel and Jesus. The people might be rebellious. They might be doing their own thing. But what's happening among them? The word of God is still being preached. Right? That's the important thing, isn't it? Ezekiel went to a stubborn and rebellious people. Jesus went to a stubborn and rebellious people. Jesus actually even then sends out his apostles to a stubborn and rebellious people. And on top of that, he gives them instructions if the people acted rebellious to them. Right? They are to shake off the dust on their feet. He does this so that at the last day, when Christ comes back to raise us to new life, when he comes back to judge the living and the dead, when the goats are going to stand before the judgment throne of God, they're going to have to answer for all that they've done, and they're not going to be able to say, the word of God wasn't preached around us. The word of God wasn't preached in its fullness and truth to me. God gives no man an excuse. For this is what he calls us to do. In my experience, I found that you don't try to go see a doctor when you're healthy. And I know preventative care, that's not what I'm talking about. I don't go to like my doctor and say, doctor, I've got a sore throat and I think my arm is broken. When I'm perfectly healthy, right? That would be silly. Believe me, I've seen my copay. I know that that's silly. The sick don't go to the doctor. Only the sick go to the doctor. The healthy do not go to a doctor. And I've also found then, too, in the same way, that it's only when a people who know that they're sinful, only will they find help when they seek a Savior. The sick need a doctor, the sinful need a Savior. And Jesus comes to those who would seek him. His hometown friends and family, they couldn't seek him, not just because they knew him, but because they didn't think they were that bad. These were faithful Jews. They were faithful Jews, followers of the Pharisees. They just weren't very faithful followers of God. They faithfully followed the rules, but they would not receive the Spirit. And I think today we find ourselves surrounded by people the same. We all know these people. People, whether maybe in our families, maybe at one point or another, maybe even at some point in the future, this might even be us sometimes. We deny that we're that bad. We deny that we're poor. We deny that we're miserable. We deny that we're sinners. And among such as these, the good works of Jesus Christ cannot be received. It's not that he's not doing them. It's that there's no reception. It's like Jesus is standing before you and handing you a Ming vase. and then you just let it fall to the ground. You see, the stuff that he wants to give to you finds no faith. And so then it breaks down upon you, and you'll be judged by that. The remedy to this, surprisingly, is not to beat people into submission. Whacking someone upside the head with a 2x4 doesn't really bring somebody into the faith, does it? And chasing after them, saying, "Why aren't you at church? Why aren't you at church? This is the place to be. I can't believe you're doing this to yourself. I can't believe you're doing this to me." That doesn't work, does it? The way to create faith, not only in those who have gone away from our midst, but also in every house that's sitting around us, also in every student who walks through the door, and also to every parent who watches over those students, the way to create faith is the way that the Scriptures teach us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. How is this done? Well, let me tell you, it's really, really hard. Breathe. Because as long as you're doing that, you can do the rest of it. You all are going to leave here from church today, and you're all going to go out back to your homes and into your own vocations. And this is the way that we do this. Jesus says in the Great Commission, "Go, therefore, into all the world, baptizing and teaching them to obey," right? Except that he does not say the word "go." He actually uses a word in the form of speech that it's there, and it gives it the impression. It's not "go," it's "as you go." While you go, baptize and teach. You see, we live our lives. We live out our vocations. We call our friends and our family. We do that which needs to be done. We say that which needs to be said, that we might preach Christ into the lives of those who are hurting in their sin. You ever seen a bagger or a checkout person at the store, and you just know something's wrong with them? Have you ever come home and your wife is just crying on the couch? You ever come home and your husband is stomping around in the garage? You ever come home and you realize that your neighbor you haven't seen in a few days, and things seem to be going to pot around them? You see, we all have vocations, and we get to preach Christ in each and every way. We can do it. I will tell you, this is a dangerous proposition because sometimes this is accepted and sometimes it is not. Sometimes, you know, even if they're not believers, they'll say, "Oh, thank you for your thoughts. I appreciate that." Sometimes, and this is becoming much more common today, they will just attack you. "Leave your Jesus away from me," right? I saw this the first time I saw anything like this, right? It was probably about 15 years ago. You guys remember the organization Focus on the Family? The bumper sticker started going on cars. It was, "Get your focus off my family and focus on your own." Right? It's a very subtle kind of attack, but it's an attack nonetheless. It's true. And when a person then will not receive it, what do? You shake the dust off your feet at them, right? Because that makes a whole lot of sense to us today, right? You see, back then, this was kind of this idea. You warned them of the consequences of shaking that dust off, right? You're shaking the dust. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You warn them of the consequences of rejecting the message you bring. That if they stand fast in their choice to reject the Lord, that the eternal consequence for them will be eternally dying in hell. Now, usually you have a long way to go before you get there. I don't suggest that you say, have you heard about Jesus? I don't want to hear about Jesus. Well, you're going to hell. That's probably not the way to do this. Okay. But it is true that we preach law and gospel to these people, and we need to do it rightly. Now, I know here at SPI, we've been trying to figure out everything that's changed over the last 20 or 30 years. And no matter what else you can say, I think we can all look around here and we can say, look, we've had a decrease. Many of our friends have gone elsewhere. But I would posit this idea that more have actually fallen out of the faith than just gone elsewhere. And why would I say that? I've only been here a year. I don't know all of your family. I don't know all of your friends. I would say that because that's what the Lord says in His Word, that many are called and few are chosen. And honestly, that's why we've gone down numerically. It's true. But I'll tell you this. Numbers matter about this much. They do. They do. So you want to know what we're going to do here at SPI? We're going to be faithful. You're going to have a faithful pastor who's going to preach God's word and deliver His sacraments, and you are going to make sure that I'm doing that. We're going to look at how the things of Christ, the word and sacraments, strengthen us in our vocations. That might mean special things at the church, special things at the school, and that's good. But we're going to be faithful. Everything we do in this place is going to be in service to God's word and sacrament and the time where they may be found, which incidentally is the divine service. Everything else we want to put on top of that is just gravy. It's wonderful, but it's gravy. And if God should provide growth to this congregation as we go out into the world, or even perhaps as you come into the school, and I'd love to see more of us coming into the school, then praise be to God. And if God should allow us to be faithful even as we decline in membership until it's just you and me, then praise be to God. If we're faithful, then that is everything. Then and only then can we receive the gifts of God. And how do you know that you're faithful? Are your ears open today? Then you are. Are you receiving Christ and His word today? Then you are. Are you remembering your baptism? Confessing your sin? Looking forward to the Eucharist? Then you are, my friends in Christ. You are faithfully hearing His word and receiving Him, and you shall stand with Him on the last day, not answering for your sins, but hearing the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You are faithful. You have His gifts. You are His. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.